If you are a visitor, I want to bid you a warm welcome. My name is Werner. It's lovely to have you here. And as you would have seen, we are visitors to us is amazing, is of immense importance. It's why we're here. We're here for the people out there. But what's more important to us is the glory of God. And one promise I can make is that in this church, if you're a visitor, I just want to say we seek to please Jesus with all our hearts. And we seek to please Him more than man. If we were here to share a message that would fall nicely on the ears of men, our church would be maybe 20 times the size. And we would be untrue to God. And sometimes the Lord comes during our worship times and He does what He wants to do and then we yield to it. So it's not that we try to be weird or anything. We just try to make His name big. I trust you will understand. Amen. I don't have a long message tonight. I think the camp goers will be extremely happy about that, especially the guys that were sleeping in my room, because goodness. There was a lot of things that was going on, and sleeping was not one of them. Nejok. So who have heard a sermon on fasting? Hands up. Like, who can remember, like, a great sermon on fasting? It's like one of your favorite. Okay, there goes all the hands. Yeah, there's not many of those going around. So, tonight, God intervened in your life. And you're going to have a sermon on fasting. Are you excited about it? You know what? I'm not scared of that fast because I was under the eating influence of Alicia and Co. this weekend. I'm up to here. I promise you. Plus, my freezer is full because we scooped up all the pasta. Oh, man. I think she heard 800 people, not 80, because, I mean, there was food. In any case, I'm going to speak on fasting, but you'll see it's about Christ. So don't worry, relax. No one is going to force anyone not to eat for a while, because I can feel the tension in this room. Can I just say, who feels very uncomfortable with fasting? That's all the honest. Who loves fasting? Hands up. Come on. Who loves it? Who thinks, oh man, I can't wait to fast. It's almost like, it's like pizza. That's how much I like it. Okay, who enjoys fasting? Okay, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Now look around you. Okay, now if look at them, because if fasting was like rugby, okay, this is Bucky's Buddha right here. Those with their hands up, they are the tough nuts. Okay, the devil don't play with them. Unfortunately, my hand was down, so this message I know will be encouraging for all of us. This weekend, we've got a corporate fast, which means every show of our church is fasting. And the big reason for it is God has been so good to us. It's the 20th year that Shofar has been around. There's already more than 20 churches. So imagine if we get to see the day when our church is 100 years old, how many nations would have heard of Christ. Places like Afghanistan and all these places that CS are going to right now, it's close to the gospel, and that's where we're going. Because if we were here for ourselves, we would be in Cape Town and Durban and Jeffreys Bay. There needs to be churches there as well, but we would stay there because it's great. But we are committed as a church to reach the unreached. And you know you're a part of it because you're in this church. Just for interesting sake, you guys, I know this is on the side. We're a strong church financially. Okay, we know that. We carry a lot of churches out of this church. You don't even know it, but that's what your job does. There's pastors that get their salary from this church because the whole church can't even cover that pastor. And then we haven't started with sound equipment, a place where they can meet. So that's why we are here. So when we as Shofar wants to reach nations and generations, you are a part already. Well, you can be more of a part or less of a part. It's up to you where your face is. But just to show you are playing a role. Does that make sense? Now, let me just start by saying honestly, I'm not fond of fasting because I didn't understand what it was about for many years. I fasted only when it was scheduled, to be honest. I fasted when I went on missions. I fasted when we had to fast because I was on staff. But never really had... Yeah, well, honesty gets us somewhere. This is the beginning of the sermon, not the end, okay? So I did it because I was obedient, but I really didn't understand a lot about it. And I know that I'm speaking for maybe 80% of us that's sitting here. Now, I want you to open your heart because tonight there's going to be miracles in this place. Let me just pray for us for this, please. Lord, thank you just for what you want to do tonight, Lord. This is your church, it's your people. You do your work in this place, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Right, so before I get into my message, let me just lay a few foundations. We can go to Matthew 3, verse 16. Right, let's just read that together. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God ascending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Then Jesus was led up, that's just the next verse and the next chapter, and Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." I'm just going to put a few things down. It's going to be disconnected from one another, but it's just to lay a foundation from where I want to work. Firstly, why, by heavens, did Jesus need to fast? Come up with a very constructive answer, and I'll be so happy with you. Why did Jesus need to fast? It's a rhetorical question, but I'll get your answer afterwards, right? And I will. I want to hear what you've got to say. But think about it. God. Did God fast to be closer to God so that he will obey God? It's a weird mathematical thing. I'm sure my friend Adolf there that works with Excel, he's also thinking, oh, it doesn't work. All the CAs in the house, that doesn't match up. Can we just go for 1 second, just the third slide, Rudolf, Deuteronomy 8. Check this out. Have you seen this? This is not Old Testament. This is written years before Jesus. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. Okay, 40 years, 40 days, maybe coincidence. Okay, wilderness, another coincidence. That he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart. Whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you known that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by the word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus literally just did what was said here, and his answer. What's going on here? I'm just pitching a few things here. There was a preparation, at least, that took place. If you look at Deuteronomy, it says, there's a reason God caused you to be hungry. There's a reason for it. There's a fear that he might humble you, that he may test you. Testing, that word in Greek is exactly the same as the word tempting, which happened by the devil. There's a reason for it. Interesting, look at it. He humbled you and let you hunger. And who was the one who fed them? There was no other way to be fed except from God. I'm just throwing a few things out there. The wilderness where Christ met Satan, one could argue, it's up for discussion, was the defining moment of his ministry. Because if he lost and yielded to Satan in the wilderness, the cross would have not existed. If he lost there, it's lost. If he bowed his knee to Satan there, it was over. Would you agree that that was a defining meeting? What does Jesus do in preparation for his defining of defining meetings? He fasts. For the biggest occasion in his life, the biggest moment, the biggest game, okay, that was ever played in the wilderness, massive clash, the biggest moment in history, he takes out his biggest guns and he fasts. The best way he could prepare for the most fierce battle was to fast. There was no other way. None better, at least. Now, we are not Jesus, and we've got our challenges, but he met his biggest challenge with his biggest weapon, which was fasting. Now, you know where I'm going with this. Those that know me knows exactly. Could there be a reason? Think about this. Could there be a reason that you still say to yourself and me every day, why am I still not bold at the workplace? Why am I still under the hand of pornography? Why does it defeat me every time? Think about the things that defeat. I thought about the things that defeat me, and I want you to think about those things. Because if that is your biggest battle now, could it be that you are being defeated because you've not taken out your biggest weapon? I'm only starting out here. I'm putting a few things out there. I know it's quite of a hectic start, but this is laying the foundation. Is there an area of attack? Offense that maybe, just maybe, you've neglected up to now, and I. Now, put that in that box. I'm just putting a few foundations down. Now, if you go back to that verse, Rudolph, if you don't mind, the first one, it says, the voice came from heaven, there was a dove that descended on him and said, this is my beloved son. And I am pleased with him. I love him. There's nothing God loves more than his son. He's the first son. But in this, the spirit comes down, and the spirit is so gentle. It's like a dove. I mean, a dove must be the most harmless thing there is. And so this dove comes down, I mean, and right after the dove sets on him this love and this almost this affirmation. It pushes him in the face of the lion. Right after saying, I love him. I'm pleased with him. Now, all I want to say for now is, if you would talk to people in this church, you'd realize there's some people here that is actually right now busy to fight the fights of their life. Whether it's right here, whether it's in the hospital, there is some wilderness experiences going on amongst us. Am I right? And I want to say this. This does not mean you are there because God is displeased with you or because he does not love you. Is that clear? Because look at what happened to Christ. Just after the Father affirmed him, he still went out onto the battlefield. I just want to leave that there as well. did not happen because God was not pleased with God. It did not feel dove-like to Christ going out into the wilderness, but it was the faith-filled fast of Christ that at the end made our salvation possible. You with me? Almost done with the introduction. I just want to ask, if fasting was so central to the context where we are now, the fact that we are saved, the fact that Christ won that battle, what is the possibilities for you if you fast this weekend? What is the possibilities? What does it mean for you in your life this weekend coming? If you decide to fast, which I hope I don't get you to a place where you say, I want to fast. I hope the Holy Spirit speaks to you in this message so that you can say, there's a reason why I must take part. And this is my battle. That's why I want to fast. That's why I want to take part. But what is the possibilities? Why? What is the wilderness in your life? What's going on? Is there a battle that you have yet to win? And you must think for yourself. So I ask a rhetorical question. I'm a great thinker, of course. You can go on. Thank you, Rudolph. Now, one back, please. Can I successfully face the challenges of my Christian calling without sharing in the fasting of Jesus? That is my question. And that's a question I've asked myself. And I want you to look at it and ask it for yourself. Now, this is where we start. I'm going to share with you what changed my heart. Because I started out very badly. I thought, oh, what is this guy doing with the mic? He doesn't even like fasting. What is the reasons that I want to fast when it comes to this weekend? What has changed my heart? Because something in my heart has changed, and I'm going to share that with you. What changed my heart? Number one, follow with me. Just a bit of number one, especially just a slight bit of doctrine that made me understand the essence of fasting more. If I look at what Jesus did in the desert, I know that fasting is able to prepare me to win my battle. Fasting can be something this weekend for me can mean, and every time when I use my name, think about yourself, but also think about us. Because this weekend is about, yes, God doing something in your life, but also God doing something in our midst, okay? One thing fasting is something that precedes a battle. It gears you. It's like putting on your armor. It's like preparing, and now you're ready. Like rewiring, that's our theme for this month. Almost just taking apart what's in your heart right now, all the loose wires, and fasting could rewire your heart. And then when you get to the challenge, you're ready for it. Something that precedes that battle, a preparation to conquer the enemy. Almost like a fresh position in God. It's like you go into the fast, and some of us don't know, but should I take a new position? What's going on? But that happens in fasting. The answer comes in the fasting. So the first thing is the preparation for me to conquer the enemy. And I'm hungry for that. It's the first thing that changes my heart. The second thing, think about this. Fasting is not only a tool to conquer. Fasting, in essence, is conquering Satan. And this is why. You are without food. You're hungry. And now you draw near to God. You realize that actually you are so dependent on these worldly stuff. And you're not able to have it because you're fasting. So right there, God shows you something new. You repent. You say, God, I've become reliant on so much of this stuff. And right there in that repentance, the enemy's hand loosens from you. And you say, God, take a hold of me. I'm so hungry.
I am hungry for you. And your victory is in that also. At the same moment, God is preparing you for what is coming. But right there, on that day, there is a victory. And the enemy's hands go on. There's nothing he can do with you. There's nothing. Take food away from a human being. There's not a lot left. Can you go and run over Table Mountain on day two of a fast? You could, but you can also end up and visit Tien's wife in the hospital. So if you can't eat, you can't run. Well, if you're fasting and you're not enjoying food, it doesn't make sense to go watch a movie because you're fasting to draw near to God. So normally on a Friday night, I would just grab hold of that, just that happy place we speak about. But now I'm not going to because I'm fasting. So, but actually the enemy in a way was just like having you, not that there's anything wrong with those activities, but just you seeing I'm so dependent on them. And his hands comes off. Boom. Victory right there. Fasting in essence is victory over the devil. That's what it is. And now I start to get excited about fasting. Because I'm not just starving here in the corner trying to get by. You know, it's a time now when we're eating. I'm actually understanding that there's something going on here. Something deep. Are you with me? Rudolf, don't go ahead of me, please. But thank you. We're there now. Number two. Fasting produce humility. That was a joke, eh? I'm just saying. Listen to that. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before God to seek from Him a safe journey for ourselves. With an emphasis on humble. Now fasting is a means to true humility before God because I realize how overwhelmingly dependent I am on physical stuff, okay? But now I realize in my humility before God, I'm like, God, I'm such a sinful person. I actually don't deserve food at all. I actually deserve to starve. I don't even deserve my bread from heaven. It's a gift from God. So what does it do in your heart? It takes you low. It's like, God, I am so worldly, actually, because I realize it now. I humble myself before you. Come do a work in my heart. Teach me to be dependent on you. That's humility. You speak from that place, from realizing that my hand is so much stuck in this world in different places. And right there, another battle is won. God humbles you right there. Amen? And this ultimate humility is seeing the Holy Spirit or allowing the Holy Spirit to have your way. That's actually what humility before God is. It's like, okay, do what you want, God. Okay, move me as you please. And it's very difficult for us, especially for me. Fasting produces humility. Some of these things will overlap. They come together. Number three, fasting teaches drawing near. Okay, some of the guys. Okay, you saw at the camp, I've got a healthy appetite. Okay, I can eat, and I can eat the whole day. Poor wife. So it gets to 11 o'clock, okay, in the morning, and something hits you. It's almost like someone hits you with a baseball bat. It's like feeling on your tummy. Oh, I'm hungry. And it's like you don't see it coming. It's just suddenly. And I work on top of Pick and Pay. So just like in the lift, quickly down, quick fix, done. So that feeling comes, and you realize, I am fasting today. I'm not going to have lunch. And suddenly, there's a problem. There's a problem. Because I'm hungry, and I'm not having a great day. In fact, I'm not having a good year. My family's not doing well, let's say for real. My marriage is not doing well. No one likes me, but at least, under normal circumstances, I've got lunch to look forward to.
Okay? Okay? And we laugh. And it's meant to be funny, but think about it. Think about the power of a supper coming up. No, think about it. What do we do when we feel alone? What do we do whenever we eat? It's like, I'm on my way home in a car and I really have a bad day, but tonight I'm going to have dinner with my wife. Take dinner away, what's left? What if you don't? What if you're not married? Boo! I was gonna say if you're single, but I'll give you a chance. Another one. Laugh. Okay. Are you happy now? Thank you, Altus, for the nod. Thank you. And now it's day two of fast. And you remember, my credit card balance is not looking so good. And you're like, sometimes, because the devil also has a way to show you all the stuff's not right. And you're like, okay, but today there's no lunch. Today there's no dinner. There's no supper. Tomorrow morning there's no breakfast. And you've got one thing to do. Well, in fact, there's two things that you can do. Number one is, and this is where you'll start to agree with me, you'll fall into despair. Look at what all those people are eating. And you're like, why am I fasting? And you're like, cry yourself jammer, and we come to fasting. And okay, because now, what do we have to hold on to? Or we can draw near to God. And that is hard, but that's right where the victory lies. So fasting, it leaves that gap where normally there would be something, just something to grab onto to just make it through the day. It's not there anymore. Now it's only God. And so you draw near to God and you say, God, I didn't realize this. I didn't realize I was actually standing with my one foot on stuff I could buy. And I was actually positioning myself in such a way just to make it, just to survive through the day. But now I realize again just how faithful you are to me. I realize again how I need you. And that drawing near that comes from fast is something I'm looking forward to this weekend. Because this time I'm prepared. I'm really looking forward to see God in that moment of wanting to have something. Amen? The fasting teaches drawing near to God. And I'm thinking now, because of course I knew what I was going to preach, so we're doing the worship and we're singing that song. Okay, now just to help me with the lyrics here. Your presence is all I need. I'm like, oopsie. All I seek. I'm like, yeah, and food. And I seek your presence and food and a series or a movie and surf and no, and then the song, second verse, your presence is all I seek, all I want. I'm like, okay, so that's going to come forth in fasting. At least I could say, okay, God, you're all I have. Voluntarily, I'm fasting to draw near to God, to have Him and Him alone. The air I breathe, and without it, there's no living. Wow. Now that song's words for me is different. And maybe we must sing maybe that song on Friday night when we come together, and Saturday when we have nothing else but God to hold on to. Amen? Fasting teaches drawing near. Does fasting make a bit more sense for some of us already? Okay? Number four. Who's been on deep sea fishing? And the boats have got these GPS where they see the fish, right? Have you seen it? So they go out to sea and they're like, okay, here's the fish. Because they've got the little screen that shows you more or less where to go. It's kind of an unfair advantage to the people on the boat. But they've got these gadgets. Now, the disciples, went out on a boat, and they got that thing wrong. So Christ came and he said, no, throw your nets on the other side. So you see, God's got one of those GPS systems, right? Now, what happens when we draw near to God and we've got nothing? You'll see this builds on the previous point. We've got nothing. So we draw near to him, and he actually shows to us our slavery to these things, or just the way we stand on them. And we repent, and he takes almost that mist away of all these things. What happens is God's point is again clear to us. There's nothing just fogging the way. Nothing just almost coming in the way of our vision. Because there is nothing. It's only an empty stomach and God. So God comes and he gives direction again. And that's what we must ask. So do you need direction in your life? I need in my life. Junaid and I, we need direction from God. We're dependent on him, but it's sad how I haven't out of myself, and I'm being honest, initiated this. Just taking away, when we talk, we really want to know, should we do this or that? And I know, I speak for all of us, and we talk about our problems, and then the next moment you're in your car, you're having coffee with someone, and there you go. And there goes that moment. And there's something else that takes its place. And this weekend, I'm excited to see what God wants to show me with his direction. And some of us, we're going to see this weekend God give us direction, but some of us needs breakthrough. Okay? And the two works together. It's like, again, the first point, some of us needs to fast so that we can get to the challenge and break it. And some of us needs to fast for direction in our lives. Have an expectation if you want to fast this weekend. Expect direction from God. Expect it with all of your heart. Because he's going to talk. He's going to talk loudly. He's going to talk to us as a congregation. And he's going to talk to us individually. And when we have these devotions, we're still going to talk about it, exactly what we're going to do, but I definitely want to make space so that there's a time where personally we can hear from God what he has to say for you, giving you direction. Amen? Okay, this is a good one. Now, God's people, next slide, thank you. Thank you, Rudolph. Teamwork. God's people often, when we follow God, okay, there's these times where we need to go without the ordinary means of things, right? Whether you're on a mission to the Congo and there is no toilets. Just a sad fact, girls, there's just no toilets. Or there's no place to sleep in, so we have to sleep outside. That is very mild examples, very mild of what could happen in someone's life with a calling on God. There's just the ordinary things are not there. So what the psychologist teaches us today is that humans, they've got all these things to numb out the pain, to numb out the bitterness. You know, like someone will have this massive bitterness towards their parents and no one will know of it. And then they will go to Foundation 4 and miracles will happen. This thing comes up and like, wow, where's this come from? And there's tears and there's shouts and then there's just freedom. You know what I'm talking about? We've got all these things to numb out our pain, to numb out the stuff that actually is holding on to us. Because some of us had bad experiences and it's really bad. It's worthy to be called bad because it should not happen to a human. Or sad. And then we numb it out. And when we fast, everything that could numb us is taken away. And it's painful. I want to read you what this one guy says. Just actually give him some credit, Richard Foster. He says, more than any other single discipline, fasting reveals the things that control us. This is a wonderful benefit to the true disciple who longs to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, when I read that, I'm like, it doesn't make sense. Because fasting is tough. So it would be beneficial for the one who truly longs to be like Christ and is willing to get to that point where his longing for Christ is bigger than his longing for fast. Which again, put shame on me when I thought about myself and my longing for Christ. This is a wonderful benefit to a true disciple who longs to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. We cover up what is inside with food and other good things. But in fasting, these things surface. If pride controls us, it will be revealed almost immediately. Can you think about it? That's why Jesus said, when you fast, don't appear to be fasting. Because pride is the first thing that comes. I'm fasting. Even in a weird way, you know, I'm fasting. Jesus said, no. Don't let pride get hold of it. David said, I humbled my soul with fasting. Anger, bitterness, jealousy, strife, and fear, all are within us. They will surface during fasting. This weekend, things are going to surface. But we want them to surface. I'll tell you now why. At first, we will rationalize that our anger is due to our hunger. Then we will know that we are angry because the spirit of anger is within us. We can rejoice in this knowledge because we know that healing is available through the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's just give God a clap. When all the coping mechanisms gets taken out of the way, the real stuff surfaces. And for some other scary, maybe it's just because the Holy Spirit is pushing me in my heart to a place where I'm a bit more bold. He's really pushing me. But I'm really not scared to see what pops out in me this weekend. It took me a while because normally I would like, no, I don't want to see this. I definitely don't want other people to see it. But if I know that Christ is there to deliver me, it means my future holds something, wow, amazing. But it takes faith, that. And I pray that all of us will have that faith. Now, the bottom line of fasting, according to Richard Foster, is that fasting is the testing ground for God, but it's also the healing ground. So during this weekend, I want to be tested in my heart, but only because I know there's healing. If there was no healing, I would not want to be tested. Because why? To be mocked within my heart without hope? No. But I'm willing to be tested because I know I'm going to be healed right there on the spot. Amen. I'm getting more excited about this weekend and one or two people. The others are almost under the pews. I can't see them. Check this out. I'm excited to open my or our lucky packet. What do I mean by this? Sound like a crazy man, eh? What if I've got a few things that God wants to say to me, but I just couldn't hear it because I was too busy with ministry and stuff and numbing it. But this weekend, he's going to show it to me. What if that thing I was been longing for so long, but I'm praying, but what if it's this weekend when I fast that God's going to come and reveal what's on the inside? I mean, I think almost all of us, I would say there's no one in school here, right? All of us should by now know more
more or less what God wants to use you for? More or less. The direction. By now you should know that God wants to use me to love people in this way. Or you're not a people person at all, but you really want to minister through intercession. And so you pray. Because you're not so good with that, but you... And if you don't know more or less, maybe this is the weekend that God reveals secrets about your life to you. Because you're taking all those other stuff away and the air is clear, and He shows. Because we are listening. I just wrote here, I said, if I, for example, had a very strong anger problem or manipulating thing within me, and I'm going into the fasting weekend, I would be not wanting that to be revealed unless I knew Christ could heal it. But because I know He can deliver me of all, I should not be scared. I can go. And I'm looking forward now. And the same for our church. God did amazing things in our midst since the beginning of this year. But what does He have for next year? And He's going to show us. And we're going to see what's on the inside. Amen? And then my last point. I told you I won't be long. I will learn of resources I did not know of. Again, those two scriptures that we had in the beginning. Thank you, Rudolph. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that He might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart. We spoke about this. Whether you would keep His commandments or not. He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, look at what happened there in the wilderness. The Israelites go into the wilderness, and they've got some kind of legacy. They had parents, and their parents had parents, so they've got some kind of way in which they lived. They had a way to prepare food, to make bread or meat. They had their ways, their knowledge. But now there was no means in the desert to do it, so they could not eat. So now suddenly everything they knew meant nothing. Now what if you are in a situation where you keep on assessing the situation from what you know? You keep on thinking in circles, oh, this happened, that person, and you just don't get to the crux of it. It's because God needs to show you a resource. If you can go one slide back, please, Rudolph, thank you. That you don't know of. It's called manna. No one has saw ever bread fall from the sky. Only God can provide that. Only He knows what is manna. I don't know. Back then, only God knew what manna was. And I know if I need to follow my calling that God has for me and for us, is this just, there's going to have to be times when God tells us stuff that only He knows about in terms of direction, in terms of leading, in terms of favor and success. So, what makes us different than the Israelites is we voluntarily go without our daily means. And that's where I want to emphasize that it's voluntary. That's why I really didn't enjoy fasting a lot because I didn't have my heart right. But I want to make emphasis on it. No one will fast this weekend that does not want to fast. Is that okay? Is that a deal? If you've never fasted before in your life, don't fast for 3 days. We're going to do the Friday, the Saturday, and the Sunday morning after church.
the small groups can organize something. You won't die, I promise you, because I did it. Okay? But fast one day. If it challenges your faith, okay? Go for one day. Go for the Saturday because we're coming together and we pray. But if you go say, God, I'm gonna go for this. And I'm going to remember this stuff because I'm going to practice that day to draw near to you. And then I want to hear from you. And we get these resources that I don't know of. I would go to you, but because I want to. Amen? And maybe God is going to do stuff. Maybe this weekend is a historical weekend for us. Maybe it's an historical weekend for me. For some of us here. So I want to finish off. And I want to ask us this question. Can I successfully face the challenges of my Christian calling without sharing at all in the fasting of Jesus? And I think the best place I could get to without this, again, is mediocrity. Or good. Good. You were good. Lived a good life. But I would love to be so much more. And many of us, yeah, I know your heart is pounding. You say, I wanna make it. I wanna not just me, I wanna overcome. I wanna step into that place that God has for me. And I just feel that this weekend is so from God for us at this time. So what changed in me? When it comes to fasting, I now feel draw from the inside to fast. Because I understand now what it's about. And I know it was a lot of info in one evening, but we'll try and get it up. And I realize that I still don't love not eating. But I love the possibilities of what God can do to a man that says, okay, I've got nothing to hold on to but you. I mean, that must make sense. Amen? So, my prayer is that with the information that you've got, that you will feel drawn from the inside to partake, if you partake. And that not one person would at one moment feel, why am I doing this? I don't want to do this. And in your heart, you're angry at the church because now, well, why are we fasting? Why is my soul saying we must fast? Okay? Because I was there, and as I was preparing for this, let me share openly with you. I think back and I realized I had a spirit of anger because every time we had to fast, I got angry. And it was not the fasting's fault. It's my anger that comes up. It's like this one guy, he speaks on marriage. So he coaches a lot of couples. And so the girl would come to him or the wife and said, look at what my husband made me do. And she broke something or whatever. And then the husband would say, but look at what you made me do. But a lot of the times, he explains it like the ladies is like a cup full of pink beans and a man blue beans. And as the beans collide, which do happen at times, the beans comes out. But it's your beans. You are the problem. It's not your husband. But as believers, we know that. But what does happen in the world? When my bean comes out, it's his fault. So I break up with him. And I go to the next guy. Oh, he makes me do the same things. How odd. I break up. And I go to the next guy. Can you believe it? All the guys in this town is crazy. Look at what they make me do. And you go on. And we can actually live our Christian life exactly like that. Look at what this church. This is pastor. But actually the beans are in you and me. And that is what I'm saw in my life. When I fast, this is humbling, but I said, I got jealous at people that was eating. Because I was not eating it. And it's day 3 of a fast. I'm like, why can that person
What does it sound like? Why can that person have that? Why can this person have this? I know you're laughing, but you're thinking, is that you also? That's why. Why can they eat chops? And what is it? What's the root of that? Jealousy?
Hunger.
Someone woke up. It's jealousy. Jealousy and envy. And now I think, I better check my heart. Because in me, there is rooted jealousy. And I'm open about it. Hey, first man cast a stone. Okay? But it happens to me every time I fast. I get sad because other people can have and I not. But now, for the first time, I'm looking forward to Friday. Because I can promise you, if we start fasting, we're having people over for dinner, okay? But we have to eat late. 12, okay? Because by 2 o'clock, I'm going to wake up like this. And I'm going to be hungry. And then my battle starts. But this time, I'm prepared. I'm going to look out for jealousy. My heart, envy, anger. And I want to not feel sorry for myself one time. And if that feeling comes, I'm going to take it and I'll explain to the men afterwards what I'm going to do with it. But I'm not going to treat it nicely. This is a joke. But I'm going to be on the offense because I'm ready to overcome. I'm ready to see God doing a work in me. And you know what? Sunday, I want to say, this was amazing. And I want to come to Sunday night, evening church, and I want to stand here, and I want to jump until I almost touch the roof out of joy for what God has done in my life and in our lives. Amen. I'm going to ask the band to come up and just sing that last two songs. Let's just worship the Lord. I'm not going to make an altar call, but what I am going to ask is, can I get facilitators to be in front? And if you need prayer, if you know this weekend come, you come on your own. Whatever you need prayer for, just come. Okay? If you through my sermon saw, okay, these are the things that's going to pop out this weekend. Because you know yourself. Come, and then we minister to one another. Because we can go into this prepared, or we can come on Sunday and say, yeah, I'm just so glad this is over. Okay? Listen, I want to ask you openly. I looked at your faces when I was preaching the sermon. And I saw. But I want to ask you one question. Is this going to help you with your fast or not? It's going to help you. Because otherwise I waste my time. Because it's going to help me and at least Adolf, because he was shaking like that. Okay. But I want to say, don't be scared, okay? Don't be scared. And if you want to take one day, take Saturday. Okay? And fast for Saturday, the first time. And if it feels like you're close to dying, then know that I've already been busy one day extra. And I eat more than all of you. Amen. Let's stand up. Can I get some facilitators?